You tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM. This is the Community Hour, and I'm Pete Dane. Now, children are normally seen as being, innocent bystanders and victims of war throughout the ages. But there's also been a long tradition, in many ways a controversial one at that, of children playing with toys and making up games to do with war. Now, a bit ago, I went down to the Museum of Childhood in Bethnal Green. I met up with Sarah Wood, who co-curated the latest exhibition entitled War Games. And I asked her, well, what's it all about?
Well, War Games is a very exciting new exhibition. It explores the history of warfare and how that's impinged on the world of childhood through the material culture of toys, games, comics and books.
And how do you think they've changed over the years from what we see today?
Well, in some ways, the types of toys haven't changed, but the types of wars they represent have. So at the turn of the century, you have, with Britain, with a lot of colonial interests around the world, you have a lot of colonial regiments, etc., and personality figures such as Lord Roberts sold as dolls. Later on, you have sort of technological changes within warfare. So in the First World War, you get the first use of trenches and the first use of the tank in warfare. And that's quickly represented in toy form as well. And that goes the whole way through sort of the history of warfare. So in World War II, for instance, there's a lack of toys that are actually being manufactured because a lot of the toy factories turned over to making munitions and arms for the war. And so you get a lot of homemade toys. And then right up until modern day now, we have a new range of action figures called HMD Armed Forces, which are licensed by the Ministry of Defence to promote a positive view of the military in modern day Britain.
And of course, the idea of propaganda and enforcing like different ideas at the way that wars are going on, that's gone throughout history, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And it's, you know, I think one of the things we've tried to do with the exhibition is show that propaganda has been used by all countries and has been used directly at children through a number of games and toys. For instance, we have some picture blocks that we've borrowed from the Wiener Library in London. And the picture blocks, for a very young child, you can spell out Hitler or you can spell out Adolf, or you can buy another set and you can make it form a swastika. So it's this sort of...
Just be clear about this. What you've got, so a set of wooden blocks. Yes. These are for children. Yeah, young children, they'd be like, you know, for early toys. And they'd be sitting there and they could spell out words like, which to us today sounds absolutely shocking. Words like Hitler and Adolf and swastikas.
I think, yeah, it's sort of a not so subtle form of indoctrination into ideologies of political systems and social beliefs. It's happened in Germany, it happens in Britain. There we have an amazing game called Get Rid of Huns, which was a First World War game where sort of the enemies of Britain were depicted as devils. And we have an American example from World War II, which is actually a dartboard made in America. And it's got pictures of Japanese on it with targets on their bottoms, where you could throw darts at them. And the targets on their bottoms are a red circle, which is the national symbol as well.
And some of them I found quite shocking, really. The one that really got me, I think, was the one that was called Atomic Bomb.
Yes, it's probably, I hesitantly say favourite object in the exhibition. It's probably one of the most innocuous, but also the most sort of potent and toxic things in the exhibition. It's a small puzzle game where you have little divots and little holes in a game and you have to get the ball bearings into the hole. And it only has two little holes in it and two little ball bearings. And it's a picture of Japan and the ball bearings symbolise the two atomic bombs and you have to get them into the holes of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. This was seen at the time as an acceptable toy, but to us now seems truly horrific.
And also some of the toys, they show that people can sometimes be, well, sort of tired of war. And
yeah, you can see that there's been this ebb and flow of public appetite for war and also in response to that for war toys. So, for instance, in the build-up to World War One, and for a little bit of time afterwards, we were in Britain, we're living in a very patriotic, very militaristic society, and war toys were viewed in a very positive way to educate the young and to encourage them to join up. It was a positive and good thing. Other times in history, for instance, during the 1960s, with increased distaste with the mass casualties in Vietnam, meant that there was a sort of a turn against war in general, lots of protests, and war toys stop becoming realistic in terms of what they're actually representing.
I think there's something to do with like G.I. Joe. I think he was, wasn't he the man who was a bit like Action Man in Britain, wasn't he?
Well, G.I. Joe's the original. G.I. Joe was launched in 1964 in America. Action Man was the licensed version in Britain. He was launched with huge, huge popularity. He was the first action figure for boys. He came in full military forms and was the all-American hero. But really by the end of the 1960s, as public distaste for war, you know, increased, he became demilitarized because the toy companies realized that people didn't want this anymore, and so they made him an adventure team. They made him non-militarized and doing all sorts of other dynamic things.
He goes mountain climbing and spaceman.
Yes, exactly. So it goes. And this is the other thing that happens, sort of, particularly in sort of the 1960s. The appetite for war is still there, but it goes into outer space. So you get the impact of films like Star Wars and the impact of things like comic books. So you have superheroes like Iron Man and Incredible Hulk, who were all sort of part of this Cold War experience and sort of the atomic age, but it in a way seemed more palatable for people to buy because it wasn't directly representing something that was going on Earth.
And the Cold War generally, I mean, what effect did that have on toys?
Well, it's interesting when we sort of looked into this, because it was one of the sort of the areas where we had the least amount of represented material. The troops from earlier, in real war, the troops used to be, you know, lots of cavalry, lots of infantry, and then you have sort of mass mechanization. But during the Cold War, because America and Russia never, or the Soviet Union never really attacked each other, it was a case of brinkmanship. There wasn't a huge amount to represent, but there's almost like an invisible enemy. So you have a lot of spy games. Waddington's produced quite a few, and we have one in the exhibition called Project KGB, where you could play a spy infiltrating an agent's camp, and you had to steal a secret formula.
Very controversial, though, isn't it, as well? Toys, children, and war. Do you tackle that in the exhibition at all?
It's something that we've always been very conscious of from the first discussions about the exhibition that's been in development for 3 years. We didn't want to shy away from the fact it's controversial, but we didn't want to glorify it either. Our initial ideas were to represent the material culture that's been made available to children over time and to present that in a way to the public that they can make up their own minds.
What people say is like, well, if you want to know about the future, look at the past, yeah? So I'm just thinking, well, you've just looked at the past of children's toys and warfare. What's the future hold?
Well, I don't know. I mean, as I say, the HM's Armed Forces range has been launched over the last few years, and that seems to be going from strength to strength. As we've had sustained presence from British forces in countries like Afghanistan and Iraq, there's been...
Interestingly, no games, though, are there?
There are games, computer games and strategic board games, but those have tended to move into the adult realm, and because we're the Museum of Childhood and we have a family-friendly audience, we've tended to focus on the things that are directly made for children. But there are adult games out there, particularly, you know, 18 certificate, things like that. But I am wondering whether we'll see a drone toy at some point. I mean, who knows? It would make sense, because if you look at the history, the chronology of warfare and toys, they've consistently represented technological changes in warfare. But I don't know. I think it probably will continue to focus on the science fiction and fantasy realms, because I think people still find them a bit more palatable.
If there's one reason that people should come to the Museum of Childhood in Bethnal Green to see the War Games exhibition, what would that be?
I think it's to challenge your own perceptions, to learn about some links between warfare and how it has affected children, good and bad, and also to give us your opinion and leave us a comment card in the forum so that we can create a balanced view of what people really think.
Sarah Wood, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Thank you.
And if you want to see the War Games exhibition at the Museum of Childhood in Bethnal Green, in case you don't know the place, it's more or less opposite Bethnal Green Tube on Cambridge Heath Road. Completely free, the exhibition is, as well, as is, of course, the permanent collection there as well. And it finishes on the 9th of March. So if you do want to go and see it, you know, pretty soon. And it is suitable for children as well. It's an interesting place to go to. Loads of kids down there. And it'll be really busy at half term, I should think, as well. And also they've got a website as well, which is www.museumofchildhood, that's all one word, museumofchildhood.org.uk. And of course we've got the Reverend Dr. Chigor Chike with us, who's the Vicar of Emmanuel Church in Forest Gate, and also of course Project Director of Faithful Friends as well. What did you make of that?
I thought that was really interesting. What I find particularly useful in what the curator was saying is that they present it in such a way that they don't end up glorifying war. This is, I think, a balance that anybody who has anything to do with war always has to strike. It's good to present war so that people still remember that it happens, so it's not forgotten, and so that whatever led to it is not repeated. But I think if it's presented in a way that appears to glorify war,
as a lot of these games do, like some of these things, I mean, when you see them, there's a few of them which I found very shocking. Shocking, you know. And even though I can remember when I was, I mean, maybe you did as well. I mean, did you, when you was a kid, did you used to run around with a gun going bang, bang, bang?
Indeed, I did. I mean, gun was a very popular toy for children to be bought. Now, when I think back now, it just isn't that appropriate to be buying guns because that's the glorification that I was talking about. So long as it's presented in a way that doesn't glorify war, so long as children are not sort of made to play with toys that in some way makes them think that war is a game, because war is not a game.
I know, it's almost like made to seem like that, isn't it? Yeah, people play these computer games and loads of people get killed, but nobody gets hurt.
Absolutely. If we think of the war going on in Syria at the moment, the civil war, all the people dying, the people who have been made refugees, millions outside their country, people who have lost everything, it is real suffering. And I think that, hopefully, I don't think that's what this exhibition is doing, but hopefully everybody who talks about war and presents war in any way shouldn't trivialize it or glorify it.
Okay, thanks for that. Okay, stay tuned, because after the break, got to go to the break now, but after the break, we're going to be looking at what's going on in and around East London over the next couple of days and into the weekend. Stay tuned.